And if you could get Titus 2 in one hand and get Romans 8 in the other hand. And Romans chapter 8 is going to be far to the left of Titus. In case you're not familiar so much with the books of your Bible yet, I will tell you this, if you hang around our church long, you will get familiar with the books of your Bible. Because if you just go ahead and turn, it'll become second nature to you in a few months. But Titus, if you can find Titus, Romans is going to be to the left several books, okay? So Titus 2, Romans 8, and keep your bookmarker in Romans 8. And let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. I've been doing a couple of, this is my third study, I don't know what you call it, study, message, out of Titus 2:13. Let's look at it together. It says, looking. What am I? So as I live my Christian life, I'm supposed to be looking for something. What am I supposed to be looking for? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be looking for an appearing. What appearing am I supposed to be looking for as I live my Christian life? He said, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who, church? Jesus Christ. Now, we started talking about this a couple weeks ago. I'll throw it up on the screen again. All of Christ's appearances. He lived for 33 years. He died, was buried, rose again. For 40 days, he made post-resurrection appearances. Then, a few years later, he appeared to Paul from heaven. He commissioned him and sent him out with the gospel of grace. The body of Christ has been being formed for the last 2,000 years. We're still in this time period. And the thing that's going to end this time of grace is right here, where the church, all those who know Christ, the Bible says we're going to be caught up. The Lord will descend, as we just sung about. The Lord will descend in the clouds. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, that's why the arrow's going up. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the next appearance that Christ is set to make. It's to the church. It's to the body of Christ. Only to believers. It's a secret coming only for the body of Christ. Those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says I'm to be looking. I'm to be living in anticipation of that day right there. I'm to be, every day of my life, I'm to be looking for that appearing. And I'm to be loving that appearing and anticipating it. You say, why? Why should I be living my life in anticipation of that day right there? Well, in your handout, if you'll look at it, you remember what we said? Paul said that when he appears, that's going to end our present time of what? Sorry, now you guys got to get with me now. Y'all do want to go to lunch today, right? So you're going to have to participate. You're going to have to think, okay? And let's think a little bit this morning and let's look. Now, we said that when the rapture comes and we're caught up, the body of Christ is complete. The rapture is what completes the body of Christ in this age of grace. When we go up, the body of Christ is complete, and it ends our present time of... You guys are hungry, I can tell, aren't you? It's going to end our present time of suffering. Now, you know, this. How many of you have known somebody that you love dearly that has gotten sick, they've gone through pain, they've gone through suffering, and then they died? How many of you have known somebody like that? Okay, a friend, loved one, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa? Sure, we all have. And you know, that's the path we'll all take, isn't it? If the Lord tarries His coming, we're all going to go down that path of death, disease, suffering, sickness, pain, and eventually death. That's why He calls it the sufferings of this present time. But He calls the rapture the day of redemption. That's the day when Christ is going to redeem these bodies, these corruptible bodies that are decaying. He's going to redeem these corruptible bodies, and we're going to be given a glorified body. And you know what? When I get my glorified body at the rapture, there's not going to be any sickness or any pain or any disease in my new body. Amen? It's going to be perfectly whole and sound. I'm not going to have to deal with those issues of suffering anymore. All right? It's going to end. The rapture will end the present time of suffering. And boy, that's a good thing. Now, number two, we said that the rapture is also going to usher in for us the hope of God's calling. Do you know God has a calling on your life? And that calling doesn't just involve now. That calling, God has given you a calling for out there in the future. Ephesians 1 calls it the world to come. Did you know there's a whole other world to come? Right now the world lieth in wickedness. But there is a world that is to come. And God has a calling for you in the world that's to come. When the rapture happens, then that event, the rapture has to happen before my calling out there in the future is going to be set in motion. Now, we saw in Ephesians 1:18 that calling that God has for us to fulfill in the future, it has to do with an inheritance. The Bible says we are literally going to inherit the universe, the heavens, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that's why Ephesians 1:18 calls it Christ's inheritance in His saints. Christ has actually got an inheritance out there in the heavens that the Father is going to give Him, and He's going to lay hold on it. He's going to seize it through the saints, in His saints, in you and I. So that means you and I are going to inherit those heavenly places out there. Okay, Christ will inherit those heavenly places through the body of Christ, through the church, you and I. So out there in the future, okay, after the rapture, when that's going to kick in motion, the ages to come. And out there in the ages to come, you and I that are saved, that are members of the body of Christ, now get this, we are going to actually participate in the active government of Christ in the heavens over the angelic host in the ages to come. Remember what I taught you a few weeks ago? Do we have that other chart? I don't know if we got that or not, Tony, the second chart. But, you know, when we're called out right here at what the Bible calls the day of redemption, where He redeems our corruptible bodies and we're given a glorified body, well, that sets in motion the ages to come. We're in the sufferings of this present time right now. But then when this happens, the ages to come start. And we saw that up here, just not long after we're called out, there's war up here in the heavens. And we saw that Satan and his demonic host, Satan has set up a government up there in the heavens, okay? The high places, the heavenly places. And Satan has principalities, powers. He's got rulers of the darkness of this world. And we saw that there's spiritual wickedness in those high heavenly places right now. Well, when there's war in heaven, all those demonic hosts will be thrust out of heaven. You and I are going to occupy that as Christ installs His righteous government in the heavens. You and I are going to be a part of that righteous government. You and I are going to fulfill the hope of His calling on our life. That calling involves that inheritance up there in those heavenly places. And you and I are going to participate, we're going to be participants in the active government of Christ in those heavenly places and over the angelic host in the ages to come. Well, it's the rapture that kicks all that stuff off. So you see, we're to be looking and anticipating that day when Christ comes, because it's going to end our present time of suffering, but then it's going to be the thing, see, that's going to cause us to be able to lay hold on that calling God has on our life. But number three, the third thing I want to give you this morning on the back side of your handout there, it's going to allow us to share in the glorification of Christ. When the rapture happens, it's going to allow us to share in the glorification of Christ. Now, I want you to look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13, please, again. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the, how does he describe Christ appearing?
Glorious.
Glorious. So in other words, when Christ appears, it's going to be with great glory. Now, let's cross-reference that with Romans 8. You can leave Titus. We're actually going to leave there now. You don't have to leave your bookmarker there because we're going to kind of springboard off of that. To Romans 8. Romans 8. And let's look at a great cross-reference. Verse 17. Well, let's go up to verse 16, get the context here. Verse 16, Paul writes to the church, and he tells us, the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are, notice what we are, not we're going to be, we are the what? Man, we're the children of God. But what does that mean? Look at the next verse. If children, then notice, heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of God. And joint heirs With who? With Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, and that's what we're doing, we're in the sufferings of this present time. So, but He says, look, if you suffer with Him, notice, that we may be also glorified. Notice the next word. What is it? Together. We are actually going to be glorified together with Jesus Christ. Join heirs with Him. In your handout, it says we will share in the glorification of Christ in the heavenly places. Now, that's exciting. Look at Colossians 3:4 on the screen. I'm going to show you a few verses here that are going to kind of prove out about this thing of sharing in the glory with Christ. Look at this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, the church, those who are saved, you are also going to appear with Him in what? In glory. See? And so, take your Bible and keep your bookmarker in Romans 8. And I want you to go to the right of several books. 2 Thessalonians. Okay, you're going to go through Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You're going to go through Colossians, and then that's going to bring you to Thessalonians. You want to go to the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He writes this to the church, a local church, just like us, believers. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. He says, whereunto He called you. How did He call you? By our gospel, Paul says, the good news of Christ. He called you by our gospel. Okay, but what did He call you to? Look at the rest of the verse. He called you to the obtaining of the what? The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's your calling. You've been called to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 1 and chapter 1 of that book. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. When He, Christ, shall come, notice, to be glorified in His saints. How is He going to be glorified? You got to think now. How is Christ going to be glorified? In His saints, you and I. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, He says, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Look down at verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. How's it going to be glorified? What's the next two words? In you, and ye in Him, according to the, it's all based on this, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you starting to get the picture here? That you and I, we are, when the rapture takes place, this allows us to share in the glorification of Jesus Christ. The body of Christ, those of us who are saved, the church, we are going to extend Christ's glory into those heavenly places, ruling and reigning with Him. In your handout, it says we are going to reveal His glory in the ages to come. Man, we are going to reveal the glory of Christ in the ages to come. You know, that's almost enough to make a Baptist shout, you know? Just almost enough to make a Baptist. Now, not quite, you know. We don't want to be weird or anything, but it's about enough to make you shout. Look at Romans 8:18. Man, this verse will make you shout. Romans 8. Go back there again. I hope you kept your bookmarker there. Romans 8:18. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," that's where we're at right now, "the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed," where? In us. We are going to reveal His glory, Brother Rob, in the ages to come. Look with me at the screen. 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction," I love that. I just love that. You know, we whine and we complain when our AC goes out in our house, you know. "I'm suffering for Jesus," you know. Remember the hurricanes a few years back? We were out electric and we thought we were suffering and all that, you know. Paul, been shipwrecked 3 times. He'd been stoned. He'd been beaten with rods. Man, I mean, this guy had been persecuted and had truly suffered. He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, he had physical scars and marks to prove his suffering. And yet, look what he calls it. He calls it my what affliction? My light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Man, my 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, it's but for a moment. It's that much. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He said, you know what it's doing? It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. Glory. It's okay. We can say glory. Glory. Yeah, glory. Woo! We are going to declare the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. We're going to be living demonstrations of the grace and the glory of Christ in the government of heaven in the ages to come. Ephesians 2:7, Ephesians 1 talks about the heavenly places. Christ has been raised up in heavenly places. We've been raised up together with Him in heavenly places. Why? That in the ages to come, that we might show forth His grace, the kindness of His love toward us through Christ Jesus. That's what we're going to be doing. See, our calling is we're going to be actually revealing His glory out there in the heavenly places in the ages to come. What is God? What is His plan and purpose for the future? Go to Ephesians, okay, chapter 1. Keep your bookmarker here just in case. And go to Ephesians, to the right of Romans. Go to the right of several books. And Paul writes to the Ephesian church. And look what he tells them here, Ephesians 1. He's writing to the church, a local church, just like Crossroads. And look what he instructs the church here, Ephesians 1:10. What's God going to do out there in the future? Well, here it is, Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. In other words, when time is completed, when time is brought to its full completion, when time as we know it is over, and now that time has been fulfilled, it's been completed. The fullness of times. Look what God's going to do out there. That He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven. Both which are where? In heaven. And which are where? On earth, even in Him. You know what God is doing? Here's what God's doing. God's plan and purpose is He wants His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the center of everything on the earth and in the universe, in the heavens. He wants His Son to be the center of everything. God is here's what God's doing. God is working out His plan and purpose to where God is going to exalt Christ. God is going to make Christ the center of everything in that world to come. And you and I, now this is exciting, you and I that are saved, that know the Lord, that have been called by the gospel of Christ, you and I that know the Lord, we are going to participate in the execution of that exaltation program in the ages to come. That's why God is forming the body of Christ today. If you go back to the chart real quickly, if we could go back to that, okay? Go back to the chart here. And notice this. Through the catching up right here, through the catching up of the church, the rapture we call it, when this age that we're in now is over, when He catches us up here at the day of redemption, He redeems us back to Himself. Well, when that happens, then what's going to happen? There's going to be something accomplished up here in the heavens. Through us, through the body of Christ, God is going to actually accomplish what He's been planning to do all along. See, from way back before the foundation of the world, God's going to accomplish what He's been planning to do. And that is that His Son will be glorified. And you and I are going to share in the glorification of Christ. We're going to be glorified together with Him. Remember, we're His body. We're His body. We're one with Him. So as we shine in the ages to come, and as we fill those heavenly places of government, we are literally sharing in the glorification of Christ, and we are participating in that execution of that plan whereby God is making Christ the center of everything in the universe. Amen. Now, go to Philippians. Right after Ephesians is the book of Philippians. Go to the next book, okay? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 20. Great, great passage. Look how insightful this is. What's God going to do out there? When Christ returns right here, okay, at the day of redemption, when He takes the body of Christ up, the dead in Christ go up, those who are alive are caught up, When all of us are caught up to meet the Lord in the heavenly places here, okay, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to your body that's in the grave if you die, okay, or your loved ones that have died? What's going to happen to their bodies? Look at Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, our life is in heaven, from whence also we look. There it is again, like Titus 2:13. We're looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's going to happen when He shows up? Verse 20. Who shall change our what body? Okay, vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His what? Now, according to that verse, what does He call my body as it is right now? He calls it what? Vile. What does He call Christ's body? Okay, glorious. So He's going to take my vile body, He's going to fashion it like unto His glorious body. That means I'm going to get a glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Look at the rest of the verse. He's doing a work here. There's a work He's doing. There's a purpose in all this. According to the working. God's up to something. God's working here. According to the working. What's He doing? He's able to subdue all things unto Himself. There's some things that God's going to subdue out there in those heavenly places, in the heavens that are in rebellion right now. And Satan has filled the first and second heavens with his wicked plan, and he's trying to execute his wicked, rebellious plan against God. He said, listen, I'm going to subdue all that. And I'm going to give you a glorified body so that you can participate in helping me to subdue these things that are in rebellion out there. Woo, man. Wow. Do y'all see that God's up to something here? He's doing some things. There's more to it, folks, than you know, just, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, you know. There's more to it than that. You've got to see what God's doing. He's working. And God's going to give you a glorified body, not just so that you won't hurt anymore, although that's pretty good, isn't it? And He's not giving you a glorified body just so you won't have any more aches and pains. He's giving you a glorified body so you can be a participant of His inheritance in those heavenly places. And your body will be literally, physically raised to share in the glorification of Jesus Christ. You and I are to be living in anticipation of that day. This day right here is when it's going to kick it all off. And you and I are to be living in it until this day right here, until this day, the rapture, that's what kicks all this stuff off I'm talking about. That's what sets it in motion. And until that day, see, then our bodies are vile, our bodies are corruptible, our bodies go to the grave, they return to dust. But that day is when we'll be raised, our bodies. Now, our soul and spirit, we'll talk about this in a minute, is with the Lord, but our bodies will be literally, physically raised so we can participate in the execution of all this glorious plan that God has in the ages to come. We're to be living in anticipation of that day. We are to be anxiously awaiting the day when Christ will be exalted in the heavens and He'll be glorified through the agency of the body of Christ. And, you know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8, we're to love His appearing. Now, let me say that again. You're living back in here. We don't know where, but you're in here somewhere. Time of grace. You're to be loving that day right there. Now, for me to love that day means I probably ought to think about it a little bit, huh, during the week? You know, if you never thought at all about your wife, do you think that she would think you loved her? No. If you never thought of her, it'd be kind of hard to convince her you love her. Well, you know what? It's kind of hard to say that we love this day when we never think about it. When we go day after day trying to accumulate stuff and trying to live for this earth and we're setting down roots like we're going to be here forever, you know, it's kind of hard to make a case that we're loving that day. You see, if I love this day right here, do you know what it does? By me loving that future day, it changes my attitude in the present. Say that again. If I love that future day, and I'm looking to that day, then it changes my attitude in the present day. All of a sudden, I start serving God with an attitude of excitement and anticipation. All of a sudden, I'm like excited when an opportunity arises for me to serve the Lord. I'm excited. Praise God, I get another opportunity to serve Him, and I get an opportunity to prepare myself for my service out there in eternity when I occupy those heavenly places. You know, Brother Larry said this morning, he said, yeah, we're warming up for eternity down here. I said, yeah, that's what we're warming up. And so all of a sudden, I look at my present day situation, and all of a sudden, my priorities change. All of a sudden, my thinking changes. Why? I'm looking forward to that day when all this glorious plan that God has for me and the calling God has on my life, it's all going to be executed. It's all going to start that day. And so when I'm loving that day, it changes my priorities and the way I look at things, and it changes my whole outlook now. And all of a sudden, now, instead of saying, well, I got to go to church, it's Sunday. Well, I got to read my Bible, I guess. Well, I guess I ought to get involved and serve the Lord somewhere. All of a sudden, instead of having that attitude, it's, man, I get to go to church. Amen. I get to read my Bible today. I get to build up my inner man capacity by reading His Word. I get to serve the Lord. I get to give some money to Him. Man, I get to do all this stuff. Because we realize, you know what? By doing all this, it's preparing me for out there in eternity. See, it's preparing me for what's in store out there. It's preparing me for that future hope, see, that future glory out there. You know, here's the thing. I just simply want you to see, church, God's doing some things, some big things. Okay? You know, and I realize that maybe this isn't something that you typically would hear on a Sunday morning at a church. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to hear this. You need to know and understand God's plan. You need to know what God's up to. You need to know what God's doing. You need to understand God has an incredible plan. This whole world's in rebellion right now. John said this whole world lies in wickedness. But God has a glorious plan to change all that. And God says, I'm going to take control of the earth, but I'm also going to take control of the heavens, that it all may glorify my Son, Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the... Now, could God have just said, in the beginning, God created the universe? Yeah, the earth's part of that. Sure, He could have said that. But He distinctly separated it, and He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me show you why. Just go one page over, Colossians chapter 1. Just turn the page. Colossians 1, let me show you why. Verse 16. By Him, by Christ, all things were created. Now notice the division here. By Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Notice, visible, those would be the things on earth, and invisible, the things up in the heavenlies. Okay, whether they be thrones, these are all governmental positions right here, folks. There's a government that God wants to establish, see? Not only on the earth, but in the heavens. He says whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He's before all things. By Him all things consist. Now notice this. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You see, God had a plan to get glory to Himself on the earth through the nation of Israel. But God says, you know what? I'm not going to just glorify my Son on the earth. I want Him glorified in the heavens, that in all things, heaven and earth, He might have the preeminence. So that's why He created the church, the body of Christ. It's so that Christ may be exalted, that He may get glory to Himself in the heavenly places through us, the body of Christ. Do you know what God is doing right now in your life if you're saved? Here's what He's doing. In your handout, it says, His Holy Spirit is working inside of you to change you so that you will reflect His glory right now. Right now. God wants you right now to begin reflecting His glory. Look with me in your handout. At 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Notice that glory, okay? We're beholding the glory of the Lord. But notice, He says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. How? Even as by who? Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is working in my life to change me. Question. Now come on, it's not a trick question. How is the Holy Spirit, how does He change us? Somebody tell me, how does the Holy Spirit change me? How does He change me inside? He changes me. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. Do you know how the Holy Spirit changes you? He uses the Word of God. The Word of God. Now hear me. This book, it feeds your inner man, that inner person where Christ dwells, where the Holy Spirit is. This book feeds that inner man capacity, or rather it feeds that inner man and gives that inner man the capacity then to reflect that glory out through my body. Now I want you to get that. The Bible feeds my inner man, my spirit. That's why I don't understand Christians who can go all week and never open their Bible. Well, you know what? How are you going to reflect the glory of the Lord when you're never in His Word? This is what the Holy Spirit uses to change you so that your inner man is built up, that inner person, that person that only you and God know is there. He changes that inner person, that deepest part of your thinking and your thoughts and who you are. This book changes that so that it then, boom, can reflect His glory through this earthen vessel, this body. And you know, isn't it a shame that people are so mixed up today? You know, and they've got all their focus on the wrong stuff today. You know, when you get up to heaven, do you know what's going to matter? You know what's going to determine how much you shine His glory up in heaven? You know what's going to determine your position in that heavenly government and the glory with which Christ gets from you? Do you know what's going to determine that? What's going to determine that is what you've done with your inner man down here. How you've built up that inner man capacity down here through His Word to reflect His glory. How you've built up your soul and your spirit through God's Word. What's your focus? Your inner man or your outward body? Whatever we try to do to make this outer man more attractive is going to perish along with our body one day. You can try to hang the nicest clothes on this old body, and then we can take the nicest clothes we can find and hang them on these old corruptible bodies. And does it change it one bit? Not one iota. It doesn't change the fact your body's still decaying. Your body is corruptible. You can put the nicest jewelry. You can hang the nicest clothes. You can have surgeries to alter it. But you know what? You can make this body look like the world tells you it ought to look. But honey, I got news for you. It's going to get old. It's going to perish. And it's going to return to dust. Your inner man is what's going to go with you to heaven. And then God's going to have to take that old piece of dust and He's just going to have to change it. He's going to have to completely transform it at the rapture to give you something suitable for your soul and your spirit to operate in and function in out there in that heavenly government. What are you doing to beautify that inner man? Hollywood says you need to look a certain way. But you know what's funny about that? Some of these young girls in here, teenagers, Brother Rob, all the world says you've got to look this way. You've got to look that way. And so girls try to do everything they can to try to alter their body to look a certain way. 5 years later, it's out of style now. Now you got to have another surgery. You got to do something else to alter it because now that's not what's in anymore. Is it any wonder? Now do you understand why Paul said the fashion of this world passeth away and the lust thereof? It all passes away. It's all vain. It's meaningless. Listen, that's why, ladies, the world is going to tempt you to focus on your outward body. But do you know what Peter said? He said, ladies, your adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. In other words, don't make all that stuff your focus, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. In other words, why don't you put your time and energy into something that isn't going to corrupt? even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, see that inner man, which is in the sight of God of great price. You want to know what's valuable to God? It's your inner man. It's that spirit. That's what's going to determine our service out there in the future, is what you've done with that inner man. And what a shame that so many young ladies today are so focused because of what Hollywood tells them, what the world tells them, and the influence of the world. You've got to look a certain way, and you have to, you know, dress a certain way. You know what? God's Word tells us where our focus should be. Our focus should be on beautifying your inner man. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see a man or a lady age gracefully? Isn't it a beautiful thing when a woman becomes more beautiful the older she gets? How is that? How is it that I've seen some older ladies, and man, they just, the older they are, it seems like the more beautiful they get. But then you see other women that age, and it's like, they just seem to get mean, and just, you know, and just, yeah. And it's like, why? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you exactly why. Women who put all their stock and all their focus on their outward, they get uglier and uglier the older they get. Women who put all their emphasis on building up that inner man, capacity to reflect His glory through His Word, they're in the Word, they're growing, they're becoming beautiful on the inside. That inner beauty comes out and it manifests itself through them, and they just get prettier and prettier the older they get, because that inner man's coming out. Well, but you know, I've got to look this way because, you know, I want to make sure I look good for my husband. Well, that's great, but you know what? Bottom line is, what about when you're 80, 90? Hey, what's going to happen then? If you have to look that way to be attractive to him, what's he going to do? Trade you in? Do you want to trade you in on something else? When you can't maintain the look anymore? Is he going to just... what? Is that the idea? Is that the message you want to send to your husband? That you have to look the Hollywood way or this way? You see, the glory that's going to... now listen to this. The glory that's going to come from your new body in heaven, the glory that will come in your new body, listen, it's going to come from the inner man that you've built up down here on earth. What are you doing to strengthen and build up that inner spirit, that inner man that's going to last forever? What are you doing? What are you doing to build up that inner man capacity to reflect His glory? And that's why we do it. We build it up so we can reflect more of His glory, so the Holy Spirit can change us from glory to glory, and we bring glory to Him. Something to think about. So that rapture event is what sets all this in motion. And what you've done with your body, physical body, won't matter. When the rapture happens and we lay hold on our calling that He has for us, we lay hold on that inheritance in the saints, and we occupy those heavenly positions in that government of heaven, and we're up there to bring glory to Him, all that's going to matter at that point is not what you did with your physical body. What's going to matter is, what did you do with your spirit? How did you build up that inner man? That's what's going to matter. I think we need to refocus, don't we? I think we need to realign our priorities a little bit. Let's think about that, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, and with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Has the world got you turned around? Has it got your focus off kilter? Has the world got you all turned around, turned aside? You're trying to live up to what the world tells you got to live up to? Hey, listen to me this morning. Quit being lied to. Quit believing the lies of Satan. Quit believing that stuff. Let's rest in the truth of God today. Father, we pray now that You will bless Your Word. May we rest in the truth of Your Word. May these teenage girls in here hear what I said. I pray You'll give Miss Colleen and my wife and all the ladies, give them boldness to keep teaching this to the girls. And Lord, I pray the same thing for the boys. Lord, that they'll realize The outward man is going to perish, but our inward man, that's what's renewed by your Spirit day by day. That's what's going to matter in eternity. Lord, may we be building up that inner man capacity through your word, through feeding that inner man with your word, that we may be vessels that will just shine forth your glory in the ages to come. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, they don't even know for sure that they're saved, I pray they'll get saved today. They'll fully trust Christ to save them. They'll rely exclusively on Him. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,